God spent 6 days creating a beautiful world for us to dwell in, a Garden of Eden. But now he desires for us to create a Garden of Eden for him.
And Pastor Ray Bentley says Moses was to build a tabernacle according to God's specifications.
In a way, the tabernacle is kind of our creation story, where we get to imitate God's creation and create a very special place for the presence of God.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. God's earnest desire is to have fellowship with his creation, and it's his hope that we have the same desire. And to underscore that desire, God made a request of his people during the time of Moses. They were to work together to build a place for God to dwell and meet with his people. Let's learn more.
Well, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25, as God asks his children to build for him a dwelling place, a tabernacle. Okay, so I'm going to read through the first 7 verses. He says in verse 1, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering, and this is the offering which you shall take from them.'" So these are the materials that God was asking for the people to now donate as an offering of their own free will, so that he might build a tabernacle, which was going to be a physical, material structure that he would come and inhabit. And here's the things he asked. "This is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, like fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood." Now, one of the things we're going to focus on this morning is why God gives so much time and detail and attention to the tabernacle is that apparently, as the priests and then people were able to come to the tabernacle, the furniture, the furnishings, what it looked like, how it was designed, is a replica of the heavenly throne. Well, and then there's oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. And then in verse 7, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod, in the breastplate. So the high priest, and he had these stones upon his breastplate, and he had stones on his shoulders. All right, let's go back to verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering.'" Now the word offering, where God asks for an offering, the Hebrew word is teruma. A teruma means the bringing of a present, and it literally means not only bringing a present, but it's lifting up, it's offering up a present. And specifically, it's offering up in an ascent a present to God, to worship God. In many ways, it's kind of like God is the Father, and Israel is his children. So an offering is like a child offering up to a beloved parent a gift. And it's very special and very precious to God. Very important that it be voluntary. So in essence, from our possessions, we want to take something of ours, which has been given to us, and separate it from the use which is all our possessions. And now this part of my possessions, I want to offer up to my daddy in heaven because I love him and I worship him and I want to help be participating in the place that we will make that he says, I'm going to bring my presence and my glory to. Now I want you to note, God freely and voluntarily gave a teruma offering for all of us. When did he do that? The picture of Jesus on the cross. God, nobody made God. The angels didn't demand from God. No one twisted God's arm. But God, who created all things and created mankind, and then mankind rebelled and turned our back upon him and forfeited and fumbled all the blessings that he had given to us. And yet God still loved us, and in order to restore us and redeem us and have us back close to him, he had to make an offering, and he lifted up his own son. That's what, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, it's described as being lifted up, because the cross lifted him up off of the ground. He was nailed to the tree with nails and spikes. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "And I, if I be lifted up," and he was talking about the cross, "and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself." Because that's where God demonstrated how much he loved us. I mean, you're all familiar with John chapter 3, verse 16. This is the essence of the message of the gospel. "For God so loved the world that he offered up and gave his son on the cross to die in our place, so that whoever would believe and trust in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." And having been touched and saved and redeemed by such love, it is the will of our Father that that same kind of spirit enter into us, that we offer up all of our lives back to him like his children, in his image and after his likeness, and love him back the way he loved us. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why would God, who's the creator of everything, need or desire material gifts from his children? I mean, God could create a tabernacle. Why does he need our stuff? And it's physical stuff, material stuff that, you know, we have. And, you know, God could just make it. He could just speak it and say, "Tabernacle be," and there's a tabernacle. Why does God want or desire that we give and offer something physical from what we've already been given by him and give it back to him? God doesn't need anything, does he? So I want you to think about that. And I don't want to fully answer it. It's something to ponder. It's a very deep concept. But I want to begin to maybe provoke and plant some seeds of thinking in our minds by saying this: God knows that love grows when you invest yourself into something. He could have just said it, tabernacle, boom, there it is. Okay, cool, let's enjoy it. But God wanted them to participate. God wanted, as a father, his children to participate in creating something that would bring him even greater glory and honor to the rest of the world. God knows that love grows when you invest personally into something. And God wants you and I to love him. And he knows that the way you love someone is by your giving. By the way, I think that all of you that are parents and have children will understand that is why parents love their children more than the children love their parents. Because you gave everything to them. You've invested everything, beginning with your own bodies and then conceiving and bringing them into this world and loving them and raising them, investing in them. And it's so much that they are so loved. So here's what's interesting then to think about. God is teaching us how to love like him. So here's God. He creates the universe, and in the universe, he creates the earth. And in the earth, he creates this special place called the Garden of Eden so that God could come down and walk with Adam and Eve. And when it comes to this creation, listen to this, there are only 32 verses about how he created the world. 32 verses about creation. Now, look, God's in the details. Yes, it was written by men, but they were like the pen in the hand, and the real author was the Holy Spirit, who wrote from beginning to end one common thread and one common story. So the Holy Spirit inspired it. And, you know, most of us would probably like to hear a lot more about creation and how'd you do this and what about that? And God's the one writing and telling his own story. And he goes, "Well, I did it about like this." And in 32 verses, there you go. I made it. What is amazing is that when he gets to talk about the tabernacle, which is what we as human beings made for him, he spends 450 verses talking about it. 450 verses on what man built a place, a tabernacle for him. Why would God do this? It's almost like a dad saying, yeah, I did all of this, but I don't really want to talk about it a whole lot. Have you looked at what my kids made for me? Look what my kids made. Look what my kids did. Ah, my kids love me so much. They want me to come dwell with them and be among them and manifest my glory and spend time. It was like, you know, like a big dad getting down on his knees so the little kids can run up and jump on him and wrestle with him and get on the ground with him. Now, I want you to note another question, something to think about. How did God, the kids are going to participate in building God a special tabernacle. What did they use to build the tabernacle? They used material things. Do you realize it is within our power, through the use of physical items in this physical world, to draw the divine into our everyday lives? Whatever we have that we give to God and dedicate to God and lift up voluntarily to God, God says, I will inhabit it, I will dwell in it, I will sanctify it, and I will bless it. And I think that's a beautiful and a wonderful thing to think about. Look with me in verse, go back to verse 8. Exodus 25, verse 8. He says, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. The word for sanctuary is the Hebrew word, and I put this in your notes so you don't have to try to copy it down. It's the Hebrew word mikdash. That's translated into English as sanctuary. And at the root of this word, mikdash, is the Hebrew word kadosh, which means holy. Every time your Bible translates the word into English, holy, it's kadosh, which is similar. It's another word related to mikdash. It means a holy place. God says, build me a holy place that I can come dwell in. And the word among, where it says dwell among you in Hebrew, it's tavik, and it literally means in the center. It says here to dwell among you, but literally the Hebrew words says, I want to dwell right in the center. And guess where the tabernacle of the Lord was? You know, put the 2 million people living in tents out in the middle of the wilderness. Where did God? Was he up at the front? Was he in the back or to the left or the right? No, he was smack dab in the middle of the camp of Israel. He goes, I want to be in the center of you. Now, in the Old Testament, he couldn't dwell inside of the people, but he could be in the midst of the people. In the new covenant, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory literally moves inside of us, inside of you and inside of me. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, wherever Jesus is by his Spirit, there his kingdom has come. Look at me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Let's read this scripture from your notes out loud together. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I love this. I don't think that we realize how much God wants to participate with us when we make something special, even using physical things from our own lives, and we dedicate it and lift it up to him, that God inhabits our actions. And even our gifts and our offerings, he takes that which is physical and he supernaturalizes it in some glorious way. And that even God, who is everywhere, will not bring down his divine presence to rest until we participate in some way in building of his resting place. God is saying, I want you to step into the story personally. Think about this. Our property is an extension of ourselves, really. So God says, okay, you guys, I want all 2 million people, give. He doesn't tell them how much to give, and he doesn't tell them to all give the same thing, nor does he tell them to all give the same amount. He just says, but I want everybody to give an offering, and I want them to give something, and whatever they give, I want them to contribute it. And whatever they contributed, each individual family, whatever physical thing that it was, let's say that you gave a ring, your family had a ring of gold, somehow came into your family, your possession, and you go, you know what, let's give that ring to the tabernacle. Well, what would happen? They would take that with the other rings and gold things, and they melted it, and then they used it to form maybe the angels where it was overlaid with pure gold. Can you imagine for the rest of your life, you don't know where exactly your gold went, but you could say, hey, maybe the gold that we gave is inside where God's presence dwells, and it was given, and God is shining and burning through his Shekinah through the gold that we gave. Or maybe you said, we don't have any gold, but we got silver. We got these silver necklaces, and so you offered the silver necklaces, and all of a sudden, somewhere in the tabernacle, wow, now it's a sanctuary, it's a holy place. Our silver has the glory of God shining and burning through it. Maybe another family said, we don't have gold and we don't have silver, but we have acacia wood that doesn't rot and that is durable. You know, the angels were made first of acacia wood, then overlaid with gold. And you could look at the, you know, think about the ark and the covenant and the cherubim on top of the mercy seat, and maybe our wood was used there. But the idea is that something that you had given and shared became part of the tabernacle in a sense. It was something of your family became part of the Mishkan, or the dwelling place of God. God wants us to be part of it. He wants us to participate. And again, it's not the amount. Later, he would ask for a half shekel a year for the maintenance then of that, which, you know, a shekel was not that much. And God didn't even ask for that. He asked for a half shekel. But whatever you gave, even if it was a nickel, it would be part of that glorious tabernacle forever. And then finally, let's close with verse 9. He says, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. How did God show Moses to build the tabernacle? We're not really told, but we are told that the word there where it says, I will show you, the Hebrew word is mara, which can mean a vision. God may have just given a supernatural vision, and Moses was able to see into the holy place of heaven, and what he saw, he recorded and wrote down, and then they built. Or that same word that could be used of a supernatural vision could also mean a mirror. A mirror. Now think about it. If I had a 2-inch by 2-inch mirror, and I asked for one of you to come up and volunteer, you could take that mirror, you could walk down the stage, and when you got it at the right distance, you could capture my full human image in that 2-inch little mirror at the right place, an angle and distance. A mirror has the capacity to take something really huge and capture it in a mirror that looks just like the person. So also in a way, apparently God gave a vision to Moses, and he took the infinity of the glory of the throne room of heaven, and he bounced it off that vision or the mirror of what Moses was able to see. And so how can Moses possibly create a dwelling place for the infinite God who fills the heavens and the earth? Just like a mirror, and through what God showed him. And he was able to reflect that tabernacle. And what we get to see once we walk around inside the tabernacle is a window into what heaven and the throne and the glory of God in heaven looks like. So let's stop there, and let's just go over a few takeaways and life lessons. What do we take away from this? Number one, Jesus is the perfect tabernacle of God among us. I give you Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 14. Let's read this scripture out loud. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can underline the word dwell. That word in the Greek is talking really about the Old Testament word tabernacle. The word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And then Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, let's read this. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. The fullness of God was manifest through Jesus Christ. And then secondly, so Jesus is the perfect tabernacle. Number two, we now, because the Spirit is in us, are the living temple of God. It says in many places in the New Testament. One is Ephesians 2, verses 21 and 22. Let's read that. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. All of you are like, each one of you is a living stone that makes up the temple. I think this speaks to the beauty then of the church, because many have forsaken the church. Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some have, but come together to comfort and encourage one another. The reason is that if you are just out alone and by yourself, you're not a temple. You're just one stone. And you need to bring the stones together, and when they get fit together by God, that's what makes up a temple. That's why Jesus said, wherever two or three gather together in my name, there I am manifest in the midst of you. Thirdly and finally, the question. What am I willing to offer up? What is your teruma? What am I willing to offer up to God in order for his glory to be seen through my life? Well, we should begin with ourselves. And that's the beautiful verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let's read this out loud together. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Just offer yourself up to him. Amen.
Important encouragement today on Maranatha Radio, coming from Pastor Ray Bentley's study tour through the book of Exodus. Glad you're along. Now you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called God's Dwelling Place, and we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, God's Dwelling Place. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Exodus on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Some people confuse astronomy, the study of celestial objects, with astrology, a system of divining the future based on the occult. Where one can bring you closer to our spiritual adversary, a study of the heavens can reveal things about God. And you'll find an example of that in Pastor Ray's new book called The Holy Land Key.
We believe the book of Job is the oldest book. And in Job chapter 38, Job is having a conversation where God is speaking to him, and God mentions the Maseroth. When you look it up, is basically the 12 constellations, what we call in Greek the zodiac. Most people think of the zodiac as, oh, astrology, stay away from that. In fact, before astrology came, there was God revealing himself through these 12 pictures. 12 is a number for God. And they point to the story of the gospel. It's fascinating.
Pastor Ray tells you more in the pages of his brand new book, The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's far too easy to miss the significant prophetic signs contained in God's creation, in stories of biblical characters, and in the lives and actions of today's Israelis and Palestinians. Well, Pastor Ray helps us unlock the insights, and he brings the puzzle pieces together. Let us send you a copy of The Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or connect on Twitter. He's at Ray Bentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Exodus. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.